he's right here, so. Oh, we topped it. He cold topped it.
Okay. Gotta go. Yeah.
Eight iron.
Oh, we shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Welcome back to another episode of the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by your hosts, Kevin and Mark. I hope nobody's listening, but if you are, I hope you keep this to yourself.
Oh, hello?
No.
What's that?
No, it's off that. That's what that Stephen Bartlett does on his podcast.
Oh, you've been listening to him,
I've been listening to him, yeah. Sick man, you know.
Yeah, boss that.
It is. I've been getting a few tips on the way he speaks and the way he holds himself, and it's nice.
When's that going to kick in?
Well, I'm not going to say, do you know what I mean, on this podcast.
I'll try and keep
I was just about to say it. I was just about to say it straight
so hard,
after. It's mad because you've got to think about what you're saying and stop yourself from saying what you just naturally say.
And at the same time, think about what you're saying.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Anyway, how's things, bro?
All good, mate. It was a bit of a mad weekend for me.
Yeah.
Like, I went from having zero plans to all of a sudden, I was at the derby. Then I was at Sean Paul in Manchester. And then I was didn't get back to like midnight. And I was up and we played the Hillside Invitational. Meant to be 8:40. Well, Dave Kellett said to us. And then I was on the driving range with him and Danny Flynn's ringing him saying, where are you? It's an 8:22 at 8:18. So we had to leg it. You were nowhere to be seen.
8:25. I was still on the motorway on my way there.
I had no handicap. It was a bit of a flustered start. I was on the phone to the handicap secretary from Formby Hall asking him to reinstate me. How did I do?
Credentials. You did have a mad weekend when you think about it, didn't you?
It was up the wall.
I know we spoke last week, didn't we, about we're nearly there, we're back.
Oh, made embarrassing.
Honestly.
Well, I wasn't fully embarrassing because I sort of know what I was doing, but my short game was terrible.
You didn't hold anything, did you?
Didn't hold a thing and didn't get up and down once, I don't think.
I'm injured.
You are injured.
Woke up Saturday morning, all excited for the derby. Go in the game, ready for Everton starting to play better. Obviously, we know Liverpool are good. Went into this derby with an air of confidence, though, thinking, you know, how organised we are, the Goodison crowd behind, there's a good chance we could win this.
Did you?
I did, you know, I don't know what it was. And he's speaking to a few of the lads as well, like a couple of blue mates had the same type of feeling as well.
I know they didn't get off to the best start, but the 9-0 Bournemouth and then they beat... Scored that late goal against whoever it was.
Yeah, they didn't look invincible, though.
I suppose, in
the past, them and City have just been running away 4-5-0, scoring for fun, haven't they?
Yeah.
And this season, even City with Villa just dropping points, they just don't look as...
Yeah, City going a couple of goals down to Newcastle as well. They haven't looked...
Palace.
Up and Palace.
Yeah.
They haven't looked, as you say...
As unstoppable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why... Obviously, you take a point, don't you, Pickford had a worldie. We had our chances as well, the Tom Davis effort, but... It was a good start to the weekend, but as I say, you had a bit of a mad one, didn't you? And then Sunday.
If you could actually portray your golf swing on a like slow motion camera, I don't reckon it'd look like it was moving.
It was bad, it was that slow.
Oh, no.
What did I do? Top it off the first, topped it off the second. I didn't even know there was a ditch on the left of that second, by the way. Do you know that?
Yeah.
There's a ditch there.
Yeah, I've been in it.
Have you?
Yeah.
I'm a left player,
aren't I? My buddy's the lefty.
Didn't even know that was there. Topped it off the third, actually. There was three tops in a row, wasn't it? Off the tee.
Your combined total yardage for your first three tee shots?
15 yards.
Was probably a bit more, about 60 yards, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It was just...
And then you had, I think we had 170 into the next.
That was a
downwind, and you did this little rescue, little papa.
I made a great par, though.
Won the all.
Yeah, I did. I won the all. Yeah, that was me back. I think I made like four pars. So as the deep heat started to...
You made a birdie as well. You played the par three as well. You birdied that par three, didn't you?
That was nearly a hole in one, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
That was a 6-iron from 140, that. It was.
It just shows you, though, that's all you need.
It has given me a new outlook on golf. Like,
just shows you, like, all the speed. You can do whatever you want, but to play into them later stages of life, that's what you're going to have to play like.
Is all about accuracy.
Like, you're one disc slip away from like nine woods and like and the rest of it. The keeper.
Hey, tell you what, nine woods are winning your live golf tournament, so
they
I wouldn't knock them.
Is he still at that? Is he with the nine wood?
I would assume so. I've not heard any difference.
No, but enjoyable weekend. All things considered.
It was.
You,
yeah, we didn't
where
lose.
Where did you come in the tournament?
You know where we come?
I don't.
We come last.
Did you?
We got 30 points, better ball. Of course, you come last.
By a while, by a bit.
Do you know what? I didn't even look. Dave sent me the picture and I just seen our name at the bottom and just deleted it. Out of my memory, out of sight forever. But yeah, it was an enjoyable weekend. We didn't lose the derby. Enjoyed the golf as much as I was in pain. Yeah. Golf news then, what have we got?
A bit of a weird one. McGinley saying Poulter broke his heart by going to live.
Yeah, is what's he referring to there? Because of the Ryder Cup things and
just
stuff?
Just everything, yeah. Like the friendship or all of it.
McGinley doesn't have to hate live and doesn't have to hate what it stands
That's
for.
That's what I'm saying.
It's McGinley's choosing to go down this path.
Because he's a PGA Tour commentator, he's probably getting fed this to say.
All professional athletes and media trained to say a certain thing and you're not going
to
slag
so,
your own
brand
off.
Yeah, to portray whatever narrative.
Exactly, yeah. No, McGinley's come out and said a few things this week and we'll come on to more stuff that he said later. But
I remember McGinley when it was first happening, when Monaghan was talking, he was talking about you can't compete with the $2 billion a day, you can't do it. Like, the Saudis are coming, this is what's going on. And he didn't seem anti it.
But why has he broke his heart, though? Has he give a reason? Or has he just said he's disappointed that he went?
He's just disappointed in the whole thing, the friendship, the everything about it. Like, he's just, Poulter's broke his heart by, obviously won't be playing the Ryder Cup, obviously won't be involved in the Ryder Cup.
But again, this is a choice thing, though. Live Boston was the best live by a mile. I think it's pretty obvious to see that.
It's growing, isn't it, in stature?
It is, but once you get the players there that are at that level, like a Cam Smith, like the other guys who went over, Neiman and players like that, Lahiri, Dustin Johnson has been there for a while, but they're all at the top of the leaderboard, Lee Westwood. And these are players who've got multiple wins across different tours. You know what I mean? Lahiri and
current major champions.
Yeah.
Well, champion.
Yeah.
Players champion.
I just think
they've upped the caliber, haven't they?
The point I'm getting at is live golf is going nowhere. It's established. It's here to stay. I just don't think the argument of it's not a competitive game. You could see clearly that they wanted to win. You got people who were not even in contention who were making birdie putts because it meant something to the team part. You've always got something to play for. So even though there's no cut, there's always something to play for if your team's up there.
Of course, especially if you're Paparez.
Absolutely flying. You know what I mean? So you got just over 2.5 mil and about 2.2 of that from the...
It's a joke.
From the team element.
It's a joke.
You know, it does. Everyone talks about how good the Ryder Cup is and bringing the team element to golf, and that's what that's going to do next year. Obviously, this year it's sort of just, you know, grassroots, putting the feelers down there. But I think once the franchise and the teams are set in stone, we will see people turning up in the colours.
As you say, Liv, Boston's been the best one, and you can see it growing. You could see, when we were there, it was half a shambles, to be fair.
It was, but in the defence, they didn't have all the players that they wanted.
No,
they
just that's what I'm saying. Exactly. So it's
got to start.
It's like,
somewhere.
Look, people go back to our episode one of the Bogey Boys podcast and
they'll say it's a shambles.
It sounds like we're in a submarine.
Yeah.
And it's a shambles. And the way we hold ourselves and the way things we say and the way we report, and you know what I mean? 132 episodes and it's still the same. So at least, at least live it and learning from the mistakes and growing. No, but you can tell, even when I listen, you can tell. We've even buying mics, buying interfaces, up under production, getting a video. It's everything, isn't it?
It isn't. And you look at, they talk about the legacy and the history of the sport, and, you know, they're not playing for meaningful trophies and stuff. Well, if we started the Players' Championship tomorrow, the first event would be meaningless. There's no history. But 30 years down the line, the Players' Championship could be what it is on the PGA Tour now.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened. The Players' Championship was started at some point. Same way the Open was started at some point.
Yeah.
The majors, things change and evolve over time. And eventually,
the women have got 5 majors. They added one in. The men's game's so rigid, it's screaming out that the players should be the 5th major.
Yeah.
Or the Tour Championship in Dubai should be. It is screaming. There's room for it because the women do it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Well, yeah, the broke me heart thing in the full quote that McGinley said, is it's just his feelings on the whole thing. He's like, breaks me heart. I have an emotional connection with every one of those live players. McGinley said, I will see Ian Poulter. I'll shake his hand at Wentworth. The same with Westwood. All of those guys, I shared team rooms with them. That bond will never be broken. But, you know, definitely we're on different sides now. That's
Which is they are, though.
Yeah, but they have to be.
I think so.
McGinley's one of them people that he could be outspoken the other way. And, you know, he's a member of the DP World Tour Board.
I think you nailed it last week when you said...
Thank you.
There needs to be that rivalry, not the hatred rivalry, but that rivalry between the two tours. Like, if you live, like we said last week, you've got your 14 events to look forward to next year, your team elements, and you've potentially got the majors as well. And if you're PGA Tour, you've got your 12 elevated events, you've got the playoffs if you make there, you've got the players, and you've got the four majors. So there is full schedules now for all the live players and all the PGA Tour players. So they don't need to swap and change. It's just... the door should still be open, I think, for players who were originally chosen for LIV, went over, and they've sort of been left out because the other players have been recruited now.
Well, imagine the imagine the PGA Tour come and put a little arm around things like, I know you're playing for LIV, you've made a mistake, come on.
Come back, yeah.
Come and play with us.
You'd have so much more respect for them.
You'd have so much more respect. Instead of like...
if it's true what they say about wanting the best players in the world to compete, and you've got a player who's a decent level and has got potential. Like using Andy Ogletree as an example.
I was just about to talk about
because
him.
EKE's done a podcast, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And I've not listened to it myself, but I've been reading between the lines and I've seen what people have put across the social medias about what happened on the podcast. And he's somebody who didn't have anywhere to play when he chose to play the first event, so there was no other opportunity for him to play. So that's why he went there. So what are you going to do now?
He's been my biggest worry.
Yeah. Like, he should be allowed to compete through Korn Ferry and try and get his PGA Tour card.
Definitely. Well, what other options has he got apart from to go and play DP World or
to go Asian Tour, yeah.
Or the Asian Tour.
Yeah.
The Asian Tour qualifying website crashed with there's that many applicants trying to get on it.
I was thinking that, you know, when I seen the post about it's open, that is going to be such a popular route.
Definitely.
For players now, because you can see with the international series, the money that's being pumped into the tour, we spoke about it, the 300 million, and they're planning on
400, isn't it?
Is it 400?
I think
is it?
So, yeah.
And then they're planning to put more money in, and then you've got direct qualifying routes to LIV as well in some events.
I don't know if we didn't fact check that thing from last week about the LIV championship.
No, let's do that next week.
Yeah.
This is another point. Rich, Doc.
Ewan's mate.
The lads we went to America with.
Yeah.
Doc Magic.
Which one's the name drop, Ewan?
Our mate Richie.
Magician.
Top golfer.
All around great guy.
My ex-roommate in America. My Captain Morgan drinking partner.
Maybe she's many a titles. Sightsim. Sightseer.
Sightseer, yeah. He messaged me and said, do you know what you need to do? I was like, what? He went, you need to come back with your fact checks as a segment. You need to make sure that your fact checks that you have from the week before, you come back. And I said, listen, me and Kev have spoken about this. We've probably put it in one of our slides for our notes, but we've never stuck with it. So that is a prime example why next week we guarantee everybody that if we do a fact check, we'll write them down and we'll come back with them next week. So put that one down, Kev.
I'm going to write this in my fact check Bible here right
put
now.
Put it in that right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Live.
And that come golf. Off the back of us. That come off the back of us not knowing whether Ewan was the PGA champs.
Ah, right.
We sort of fact check it, and he is.
Yeah, I've seen that. LIV golf second tier relegation.
So on the point of LIV at the back end of LIV Boston.
Yeah.
LIV chartered a private plane for the LIV players to get over from Boston to the UK. In time for the AGM meeting, which took place today at Wentworth.
With Keith Pelle.
Yeah, so...
I read some of the comments from that.
Yeah, he's been questioned around the strategic alliance. He was asked a number of questions, and the crux of it was the majority of the answers were, I can't answer that question because there's an ongoing lawsuit.
Basically taking the fifth, pleading the Fifth Amendment, thou yeah. shall not speak.
There you go.
So...
other players have said that, stated that he stood his ground and answered the questions well.
I've seen a thing, well, on what we've posted on the socials there, what Westwood saying, like he warned about this happening. Like, why would you give your 10 best players away?
Golf Digest,
why would you, what sort of tour does that? And he's like, you warned about getting to bed with the PGA Tour because of the moves that they make. Any sort of decisions, like even getting the PGA Tour up to stake to 40%,
yeah.
No statement that Pelle as it makes, really, is ever like, our tour is this or our tour's great. It's always like, oh, we'll have the Vince when the PJ Tour players come along and they'll be better.
Yeah.
And it's what Westwood's saying is right. Like,
he's come out and said, hasn't he, that it's not a feeder tour. It's a route to the PJ Tour, but it's not a feeder tour. So
yeah, he refrained from using the word feeder tour, didn't he? But at the end of the day, that's basically what he's saying, isn't it?
Well, if you're saying to your top 10 players that haven't already got PJ Tour cards, you will get a PJ Tour card, then give it 4 or 5 years of that happening. That's 40, 50 players, your best players, going over to the PJ Tour.
So then once they go, you know it yourself, they come back for what? Did they come back for the bigger events?
Yeah.
Like they were saying, like there's...
But there's no guarantee that route that you do well and you stay on the PJ Tour, because we spoke to me about...
No,
other
there's
players.
Not, but like a Mr. Cup finish in the PJ Tour is better than last place after the Cup finish on the PJ Tour is better than a last place after the cut on the European Tour.
Yeah, it just GB goes World back to what we said. There needs to be that cash injection into the European Tour, because it's got the venues, it's got the events, it's got the structure. It just needs that injection of cash, because now you've got the Live Tour. That's a brand new tour. The Live Tour is probably now looking like it's going to be the second best tour and potentially challenging the PGA Tour, even though the formats are different. But then it's what tours sit under that. You've got the Asian Tour getting cash injection. You've got the Korn Ferry Tour being heavily supported by the PGA Tour through the incentives they're putting on. And then you've got the DP World Tour, who've got the strategic alliance with the PGA Tour. If the money was increased, then there wouldn't be a requirement to get off the European Tour. If the European Tour can get that cash injection and maybe increase the Rolex series from 5 events to 8 or 9 events, and then have those 1 million purses move up to 3 or 4 million purses, makes a hell of a lot of difference.
1,000,000%. And it's like they plonked them, all them events, all them 20 elevated events or whatever, like we spoke about last
12,
week.
12, yeah.
12, sorry. It takes it up to 20, doesn't it? Like 20.
20 guaranteed
top players.
Yeah.
Like they should, like they've got like Wentworth and you've got your bigger ones like we always talk about, the Rolex. You just guarantee like 10 of them or...
Well, the incentive now as well to get on the PJ Tour is you're getting $500,000 as soon as you get your card.
Exactly.
Every single person, 18.
Like, why would you not finish top 10 and go there?
Yeah. The way the PJ Tour have set theirs up.
Even blag you go and get the $500,000 and come back.
But that's like the PJ Tour is set up now to... because it wants to be the number one tour, and it always has been for so long. So why would they want that changing?
It was great. Great Mickelson's comments. Do you see them saying it's when they magically found money? It's great for them to magically pull a couple of hundred million out of at the same time that Liv's just came. Going back to what Rory's comments last week, and then he even said this week, he's like, Phil had a point, but he just went about it the wrong way.
In Rory's opinion.
Yeah,
but if Phil
that's what he said it like.
I think golf's in a really good spot overall, but I do think the DP World Tour, there just needs to be a cash injection to the other events just to make it more appealing for of the top players. Because even like how they're getting squeezed with the world ranking points as well.
Well, yeah, like we said, you've got the UK swing there.
Yeah.
And the home of golf is Scotland. So in the UK... You have the Open, which is a massive event. And then the other events, really, the biggest player to play was who?
Robert McIntyre
or someone. So there should be a bit, it's in English, it's summertime. So many fans in England love golf. And they got Wentworth, the crowds are selling out. Like, why not put a bit more money into that UK swing? We're not going to solve it here and now, are we? But it's...
No. We're not.
It's something that needs
looking. What we can solve, though, or we can look at the solving, is the Rookie of the Year and the Player of the Year awards.
I can't believe Cam Smith's name is even on the list. Who do you think deserves it?
I think Scottie Scheffler, me.
Do you?
I do.
See, I don't.
So the nominees, for anyone who doesn't know, Rory McIlroy. He's in 16 starts. He's had 3 wins. And as we know, the tour champion, but no major.
No.
Scottie Scheffler, 4 wins in 25 starts.
He's had like 10 top 10s in 16 starts as well, Rory. And top 8 in every major.
But he hasn't won one, has he?
He's top 8 in every major, though. Just to add.
You're trying to argue your toss because you want Rory. That's fine. Scheffler, 4 wins in 25 starts. Suppose there's an argument that at the ratio and how well because Rory had the lowest scoring average for the year as well.
Lowest since Target in 2009.
Exactly. So
68.70 or something.
He's played the best and he's only had 16 starts, whereas Scheffler's played 25. So you can probably say on a win ratio of events compared to wins, he probably has pipped him. But I just don't think you can have four wins, become world number one, win the green jacket in 1 year and not win player of the year.
I just think he got hot. He had a hot streak.
Do you think, though? Because
he doesn't even suit being world number one, and you know that. Like, does he?
I think Rory
will be world number one in the next month. Once he wins the Dubai.
Yeah.
Or if he wins Wentworth this week, does he go to world number one? I don't know. Fact check for Doc.
And then the other one's Cam Smith, 3 wins and 18 starts. He actually made 15 cuts.
Might as well,
and he won the Open and the Players. And the season, obviously, open at the Century Tournament of Champions. So
chalk him off.
I think Scotty Scheffler's got to win it. I just think the green jacket, he's had the most wins on tour.
I just think with the way Rory is being outspoken, the way he's being carrying the PGA Tour with his voice, he's won the FedEx, which is Eclipse Tigers.
Yeah, but he won the FedEx because of... And I know you can say this about everything, but
yeah, done
just one bad round for Scotty, that.
Yeah, and then that's why he's not the player of the year.
That's that one round, yeah.
And also, do you know why? Is it a vote?
Yeah.
So people don't remember that far back these days.
You remember.
The player of the season.
So I think Rory will win it, but I think Scotty Scheffler should win it.
Well, I think Cam Smith should win it, but I think Rory will win it.
Why?
It won the Open, won the Players. Two big Tonys, them.
So what's your argument against Scheffler and McIlroy then? Like, he's won the
There's
Masters.
No argument. I just like Smith better.
No, I mean Rory. You're arguing that Scheffler will win it over Rory.
Well, because Smith won two majors in my eyes there. And Smith's tournaments wins were beginning, middle, end of the season, whereas Scheffler's were all in a small gap. He had a meteoric, March or something. Didn't he? he just won it all in dead close succession.
Okay, so there's an argument.
And he still drives his old car as well. I'm not happy about that.
There's an argument for all three. I'll go Scotty Scheffler. You'll go McIlroy. We both want Cam Smith to win, just for the drama. We love to see it.
Oh, we love to see it.
And then you've got the Arnold Palmer Award for the Rookie of the Year. The three nominations are Tom Kim, who's had one win and 11 starts, plus he had a third at the Scottish Open and seventh at the Rocket Mortgages. Sahith Theegala, he's had 5 top tens in 32 events, made 26 cuts, and he made it to the Tour Championships, finishing 28th. And then Cam Young is the other one. He's 7 top tens in 25 starts, and that includes 5 runner-ups for the season. He finished 19th for the Tour Champs. He made 18 cuts in 25 starts.
Wow.
Cam Young all day for me.
See, I think Theegala.
Why?
Just because...
I think Tom Kim ahead of Theegala.
No, he only just came for Theegala.
He's won.
He has. I mean, Kim, sorry.
Yeah. He's won, though.
He has won.
Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah, but you're rookie of the season. It's like, he's not rookie of the year, is he? He's rookie of the minute.
Quarter, yeah.
That's the thing with Scheffler. He's not player of the season. He's player of that month.
It wasn't a month, was it? It was like a 3-month spell.
Whatever it was. Week and a half.
I'm going to go, I think Cam Young, I think even though he didn't win, coming second 5 times in a season, and he finished highest in the Tour Champs as well with 19th. He's done everything but win.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to do the same thing as you. I think Young probably should win it, but I think Theegala will, just because of the personality and how he's came onto the scene and how he got a bit unlucky, didn't he, at the waste management and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
And so, it's been consistent all year.
You're going Theegala, McIlroy. I'm going Scheffler, Young.
Yeah.
Let's see what comes of it.
Let's see what comes of it.
That time again?
It's that time again, y'all. It's that time again, y'all. The birdie boogie bust. The birdie boogie bust. Birdie
boogie bust. I'll go first this week. Yeah. So my birdie is how the 6 players who've signed for Liv, who were announced last week.
So, Varner, do you want to name all your...
Yeah, Varner, Lahiri, Cam Smith, Cameron Tringale,
Neiman.
Joaquin Neiman and
Leishman.
Mark Leishman.
Struggled there, didn't we?
Struggle.
Stumbled through that. Thought we're going to have to get one out for doctor.
Yeah. So them six players signing for Liv has obviously elevated that event. We'll come on to Liv Boston after this Birdie Bogey bust. And now what that's done, I know there's potentially a few more names knocking about to sign. What we're going to have next year is 48 Liv players, the team event, 14 Liv events. Then we've got 12 elevated PGA Tour events. We've got the playoffs. We've got the players. We've got the majors. We've got the Ryder Cup. We've got the Solheim Cup. We've got 5 Aramco Series events, 5 Rolex Series events, 10 International Series events on the Asian Tour. My birdie is just the position that golf is in now. And it's the root cause of it all is Liv. And what I mean by that is if Liv doesn't turn up and arrive, then PGA Tour.
Then 14 events. PGA Tour stick to what they were doing.
PGA Tour probably don't go as big.
Asian Tour probably not. No one even knows about it.
The Asian Tour probably stays where it is.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, I just think
and
that.
And then who are we crediting? Greg Norman bringing that forward, or are we crediting Phil Mickelson?
I think we're crediting Phil Mickelson, Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, everybody who's being vocal. And you can
spread the word.
I think you can agree and disagree with what people are saying, and everybody will have an opinion. But ultimately, you back what you believe in.
Yeah.
Like Phil, Norman, all those guys, they've backed Liv because they believe in it. And people will say
Liv as a product, like the arguments against it are futile, aren't they? It's like the arguments all have to stem from the money, yeah, and the origins and
well, you've
sports
got the no
washing.
Cut format and the it's meaningless.
Yeah, but
it's
people
not over 4 days.
They're talking about that, but you know what? It's actually better.
I mean, we'll come on to Liv in a bit, and it is. It was a great event, and like, I really enjoyed
it. It's frightening, isn't it? The way it all finished at the same time.
Even the team element, because you three out of four scores count.
Yeah.
On the final day, so there was all sorts going on. Like you had a 11 shot swing, which we'll come on to as well. The birdie is just the way the 2022-23 schedule is looking. Talking about growing the game, you are going to grow the game in Asia because you've got more money in there, and then you're going to see a lot more of the top players playing over in Asia. Now, the DP World Tour is still in a very strong position, even though we've talked about it needs that cash injection. It's still got the strategic alliance. It's still got the 5 Rolex Series events. It's still got a whole host of unbelievable events that go on throughout the year, like the Dunhill, the Italian Open, all these other big events outside the Rolex. And then you've got the Ryder Cup and the Solheim Cup to finish the year.
President's Cup, like, I know it's not really that year, but President's Cup is like
potentially
in that season, isn't it?
Potentially at the start of the season. Yeah, you've got that as well. So I just think
golfers are going to be knackered, aren't they?
But that's it, though. That's why it's. I don't think if you're at Liv, you should go PJ. And if you're at PJ, you shouldn't go Liv now. I think stick to your tour. But there needs to be an agreement of some such to allow these players to compete against each other, because that. Like
well,
this,
it's
like
the DP World, isn't it? That's the they should be relishing this and taking them on. Like Richard Bland said, Dustin Johnson, Keith Pelley's missed a trick not signing Dustin Johnson up to the PGA Tour to the DP World Tour because getting hold of Bryson, getting hold of DJ, getting hold of all these, and giving them exemplary memberships to the DP World, they could choose to play the Italian Open.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, the Italian Open turns from whatever to. Like a spectacle.
Yeah, and the sponsors start opening their eyes and to think, I'll put more money into
exactly.
that. Yeah, exactly.
I know they probably can't play Ryder Cup or whatever, but the Paul Garcia still got his heart set on it.
That's another thing. No, they should be able to play the Ryder Cup, or they should. What could potentially end up happening is, and which is, it'd be sad if it did happen, but this conflict causes there to be another Ryder Cup style where you can play. And people decide to play in that, and then the Ryder Cup gets forgotten about.
Like a Liv versus PGA. That was one of the first things that was spoke about.
Well, that's what I mean, yeah. But if that comes about, and people are like, that's so appealing, but because they're saying, oh, you can't play Ryder Cup, you're banned, well then, okay, we won't play Ryder Cup, we'll go and play this one.
Well, Liv could have their own, like, Aces versus Niblicks, couldn't they?
Well, that's, we got that next year to come, haven't we?
Nobody, like, one-on-one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
what's your birdie?
So, because of them 7 players that left, it opened up slots for 7 players to get their PGA Tour card.
Okay, yeah.
So, like, Matt Wallace, Austin Smotherman, Justin Lower, Doc Redman, your boy, Danny Willett, and Kelly Kraft.
you know Justin Lower as well? I'm pretty sure it's him. Fact check. This is one for the sheet. He missed a putt on 18 in his last tournament to finish just outside, and he was an emotional wreck. I'm pretty sure it was him. And he was really upset about how that one hole, that one shot, has meant that he has to go back to Corn Ferry to try and get his card again and what it meant to him. So that's unbelievable. That's worthy of a birdie in itself, if it is him.
So we should have shot lower then.
Good old Justin.
That's my birdie, basically. And it's good that, like, basically what I'm saying is every cloud has a silver lining, and that's...
Yeah.
No one's being vocal about that fact. Like you say, Matt Wallace wanted to not play Corn Ferry to try and get his... to win the DP World Tour.
Well, he's not, so he's not chose to play.
He probably thought, hang on a minute, if they go, I could get in anyway.
Yeah, potentially.
Because he's the first name.
Maybe that was the reason, yeah. Maybe he knows at least if Cam Smith's definitely going, I'm fine, I don't need to go to Corn Ferry. Yeah. That's probably why he's done it, yeah.
Great little plan, wasn't it?
Yeah, well done. My bogey is, said we come on to McGinley again. He's come out. It might have been the same article you've read. McGinley stated that no player on the European Tour wants to live players involved.
Same article, yeah.
Yeah. So, Fernandez Castano, who's a legend on the European Tour, multiple winner, he's tweeted back saying, obviously, you don't speak for the whole tour. I'm happy to see the live players there. And that was actually retweeted by Westwood and Poulter. So,
A couple of people I've seen on Twitter, not massive players, but like good enough players. I can't remember the names right now, but they both tweeted saying, like, listen, we've got no problem.
Yeah. Me bogey, there's two sides to it, really. There's that element to it. McGinley has said that it's the players that he's spoken to who've said that. So I'm sure it's the people in his clique.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, who are probably in the same mindset, probably Rory. You know what I mean? He's been vocal about not wanting them there. But then there's also the element of, because all these players are coming over and playing, it does create missed opportunities for your more loyal European Tour players, and that's what we can't get lost in this. It's the argument of you want the best players over in the DP World Tour because you want to create that buzz around an event. But then you've also got the argument of, well, there's been people who've been supporting the DP World Tour all season who've been playing well. And just two players off the top of my head, that Marcel Schindler and Richard Mansell. Both of them deserve a spot at the BMW for how well they've played this year. But because of the way the system's working and the point system, they've just not been able to get in.
And Mansell's a good 20, 30 down the reserve list.
Paul Whelan didn't get in as well, and he's won.
It's crazy, isn't it?
He didn't win, did he?
Win at all.
Fact check. Live. He was winning.
Check yourself. He got a first round lead once.
Yeah. He was up there all week.
No, he was. He was.
Yeah, so that's my bogey, really. It's just the two sides of the story.
Well, like you said, there's a cloud's got a silver lining then, and every story of other live players has got a downside as well, because 18 players don't get to play.
Yeah.
So what do you want to do? So ban them players, so then 18... Then players can get in.
And then you've got the same arguments as then, like, why you ban them to play and what have they done wrong?
Exactly.
Same way you ban them. So it's a difficult one to balance up.
Every single one of them 18 players has earned their right to play a Rolex event, I believe.
I don't think that the live players shouldn't be able to play in it. I just think that that's the downside to it.
The format to this, or it's a shotgun start. Like, it's the only thing that you can really be griping about.
Yeah. What's your bogey?
Just the divide in golf, the way it's live this or PJ Tour that, and it's like, it's just the whole lawsuits, the messiness, just Rory saying that, McGinley saying this, Poulter saying that, Westwood coming out, Keith Pelle getting an interview, like, everything is just, it's a civil war.
Yeah.
And it's, like we spoke about a couple of times, golf suffering from it, even though it's in an amazing place. Like, people who don't watch golf.
But if you look at my birdie and what I've just spoke about and what we've got to look forward to, there's a chance that this bitterness and this bickering between the tours is going to cause issues for your big tournaments like your majors. And like, well, your Ryder Cup.
What's going on with the, have the majors made any statements yet? Live players. So there you go. That is basically that's the biggest divide you can get.
Well, this, we spoke last week, didn't we, about this tournament, the BMW, being the potential catalyst for the future of golf.
Needs a live winner, this. It needs a Rory versus who? Westwood? Or like a Horschel versus... Answer.
Answers in the field, yeah.
Just a little nice, quiet guy who's good.
Well, my bust is similar to what you're saying, the divide. My bust is the fact that they've barred the live players from playing in the Pro-Am.
And the featured groups. No TV coverage.
No, not.
Like, if they're not winning, they're not on the telly.
But what that's done is that's forced players like Kaimer and Richard Bland to withdraw from the tournament. So right. They've decided not to play because they didn't feel welcome.
Little shitbags.
Yeah, so that was their reason that for not playing was because of that.
Former number one major winner. It's
yeah. My bust is, yeah, that.
Past champion went with, is he? No? Maybe not.
No, Kaim is not.
Fact check for Doc.
What's your bust?
My bust is basically when you look on Twitter all weekend, you look on Instagram, all the new media news outlets. No, they're not reporting on Liv. The Sky Sports News run an article where DJ won and talking about it, like Rebel breakaway tour, DJ wins. When Stenson won, there was nothing. And they're not talking about the fact that, like, wow, this is what's happening. And wow, Neiman, Smith and DJ and all, like, basically not reporting on it at all. It's a blackout.
They haven't got the right to have...
Tweet about it.
Well, that's what I mean. But the Sky Sports host... the DP World Tour on the telly, the host, the
other news articles, news outlets like that always report on things and they'll go quiet.
No, I know, yeah. I agree, like the Twitter world and the people with the blue ticks, they've gone really quiet and they're talking about other things, but...
It's just the blackout of love. Really, like, I know you haven't got the rights to it, but, like, do they need the rights to talk about something?
Well, they definitely cover it. Sky Sports cover it on Sky Sports News. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? When it's negative or when it's like a winner or just something, or like they talk about the lawsuits or that, but they don't like bring it up like, oh, like with the way they just pop up in the corner and say, oh, Lewis Hamilton's doing this or Max Verstappen, or they talk about baseball or whatever, they pop up. There's nothing to report on the status of what Liv is doing.
No.
So that was me gripe.
Yeah. No, I think we're in a position now where, and we'll come on to it now, Liv Boston. Liv's arrived this week.
Oh, it's arrived.
It's arrived this week. There's always been an element of we don't really know what's going on with the team stuff. It's not really that competitive. And, you know, who's winning? Is it a runaway tournament? And the first event, we had two people in the same team competing on the 18th hole. And it was a bit of a...
You were talking about you don't want a birdie to mess you... Or you don't want your player to do this to mess it up and all that.
You're competing one-on-one with your playing partner, which there's always a case for that to potentially happen. Obviously, yeah. Taylor Gooch was up there, had an eagle putt on 18, did need to get into the playoff and ends up three-putting anyway. But you're always going to have that with especially the more top-quality players you get. And if they're playing on the same team, there's always that potential. But there's always been a bit of uncertainty around Liv about... What actually are they playing for? Is it just the money or is there a meaning to it? And this week...
Well, they're paying off the bills, aren't they?
Well, this is what I mean, but this week at Liv, you could see the passion. It wasn't just about the money. Like, players wanted to win. Like, Neiman wanted to beat DJ. DJ wanted to beat Lahiri. Lahiri wanted to beat Cam Smith. You know, it was just... There was no two ways about it.
No.
It was a competition to win the tournament. It wasn't a competition to say, oh, if I don't win, I'm going home with £1 million. You could see... Lahiri, it one of the best approaches we've seen all week into 18 to about 4 foot, 5 foot, and missed full lip out eagle. That would have won in the tournament. And he stood there with his hands on his knees, head down for a good 30 seconds. You could see how devastated it was because he knew that was potentially to win. And you could argue, is he counting the cash in his head? And that's what he's worried about. But you could see that it was...
Well, do you know what? You know, he's definitely counting the cash because when he comes second at the players... He spoke about the money and like the struggle and how it had been, didn't he?
Well, yeah, but then he's got that money now.
Yeah.
And he'll have got a signing on bonus potentially, wouldn't he, as well, for turning up. So I don't believe that the money, even though the money is a factor, of course it is, why would players want to go from the DP World Tour to the PGA Tour if it wasn't? Everybody plays for money to earn the most money. So that is a factor. But I do believe there's a competitive edge in all of these players still. And it was just clear to see in this live event, wasn't it?
1,000,000%. As you were talking about everything happening, like, golf is golf and the format is the format, and you still you need the players to go out and make that, make it happen. Yeah. You need DJ scrambling. You need them him lipping out. You need DJ drop bombing eagle puts to, for breaking the hole to win.
Well, at one point, we had Lee Westwood about 70, 80 yards. He had a lob wedge in his hand on his last hole. He gets up and down for birdie, he wins. Lahiri from 4 foot, knocks that putt and he wins. You know, DJ going in a commanding position, everybody's birdie, you know, eagling 18. And then DJ, it's a second shot, which is just a layup, and he nearly puts it into the middle of the trees, you know, if out of nowhere, and then he's struggling for his par to get into the
playoff. He done that when he was leading the Open at Royal St. George's, like sliced a 3-iron out of bounds.
This is it. He's just there to just a knockdown layup, and then he was obviously going to try and up and down to win the tournament. He ends up having to come out sidewards and then get an up and down at like a 3 or 4 footer to get himself into the playoff. And then Neiman chips it from the front edge of the green. And he literally just shaves the edge of the hole. If that goes in, it's an eagle. So you've got, and then Taylor Gooch as well had an eagle put from exactly where DJ was in regulation play. Taylor Gooch to get himself into a playoff. So all this is going on, and at the same time, when DJ is making a par and Taylor Gooch is three putting, that's two pars, and then other teams are making birdies and trying to catch them.
Yeah,
for the team event, and it's all swapping and changing. So the Ironheads went into the live.
But if that all happens, like one happens at 2 o'clock, the next thing happens at 4 o'clock, the next thing happens at 6 o'clock, and then they get into a playoff, and it's 7 o'clock, it's 8 o'clock. It's a lot less dramatic.
Yeah, well, there was loads going on. And I've seen some comments about when you were there live, it was quite confusing because you didn't know what's going on. But it's easy enough change. You just put bigger leaderboards.
And once that Verizon thing that they were talking about with all the, you can watch different holes and the element of the 5G and all that comes in, and you can play a cam and whatever Greg Norman was talking about.
Yeah.
That next little technological advancement will really elevate it.
Yeah, the only one bit of criticism I did have on it was the Formula One style names they've got on the side. So what I noticed a number of times was when somebody makes a birdie and you potentially don't see it, then that birdie automatically clicks on the leaderboard. So say, for example, DJ goes from 10 to 11 under. He'll go from 10 to 11 under, but then when it shows him knocking the birdie put in that you haven't seen, it highlights him as 11 under. So when he knocks that in, you think he's gone to 12, but he hasn't.
So you already know that it goes in, basically.
Well, sometimes you might. It depends whether you've seen it. But if you don't know that it's already gone in, and it's already calculated, and then he does knock it in, and you're thinking, why hasn't he gone to 12 under?
And I see, yeah.
So there's two sides to that. I think that is just like a technical glitch that once they sort that out,
yeah.
Because obviously not every shot will be live because they can't show every shot live.
Yeah, but then as you say, well, as I just said then, even when you're on the YouTube, you might be able to pick different channels, more cameras, so you're watching you're watching.
Yeah, watch
sort
it.
Of thing. It's interesting that you were talking about Taylor Gooch having a putt that could have got him into the playoff. I know it's not all about the money, but he potentially, if he gets in that playoff, he doesn't three putt, he gets in the playoff, and he's got a chance to earn $4 million, come second, 1.8, and he ends up winning, coming sixth and getting $800,000. It's a massive. That free putt was costly, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you talk about them all money, 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 but he's went for that putt because he knew he needed it to get into the playoff. And he's knocked it a good, I don't know, 8 foot past.
What about his putt on the first? That he's knocked about 60 foot past?
I know.
I was like, man, on that day.
And it was. Yeah, but no, I think, you know, obviously, Live Boston was just a week of records, really. You had your first hole in one.
Yeah.
He had all the howls for Wolf. Obviously, Wolf snapped his putter as well on the final day. Got a bit annoyed, didn't he? Then you obviously the first ever playoff.
Yeah.
First ever playoff. First ever American winner as well. DJ winning this event. And then spoken before about the four aces. This is the third win in a row for them. Three-peat.
There's no stopping them, is there?
No. But this is what I was talking about, the format earlier in the pod. They had a 5-shot lead going in, and he ended up being 6 shots behind the four aces. So it's 11 shots.
11 shots. Well, it can happen, can't it?
That's what I mean. Yeah,
especially with three scores counting on you. You've got a crab on your team.
Exactly.
But another little record, I don't know if it's a record, but Kim shooting, what was it, 17 over? He had 15 over back nine.
Yeah.
And then beating his score by like 27 or something the
next
day.
Seven under. And then he was 4 over for 9 holes on the final day.
He's mad, isn't he?
Yeah, it just went from...
He's the definition of up and down.
That is, yeah. That's the new... We do 64-72. We'll have to start doing it 85-62 now.
That's what we're doing. But like the whole thing, like even adding Federty and Bubba Watson on the cameras.
Yeah.
And like Varner in the press conference with a bit of banter against Bubba's age and stuff, and...
What they need to stop doing, though, is telling everyone how good it is. It's a bit annoying at times.
Well, it's like the PGA Tour telling everyone, that's all that Doherty and that have plugged to say, like, oh, they're the best tour in the world, this is where you want to be, this is where you play your golf. And
yeah, but what they were on the live tour, they're going, this is just fantastic. And it's like, yeah, we know, we are watching it.
I know. But do you know what? When you have it on the telly, on your YouTube or on the Fire Stick or whatever, you forget that it was YouTube.
Well, yeah, because it's on the app.
And then, but you don't get no adverts, though. You cut to like a few of that baseball player or like whoever who were having little chats. But it doesn't seem like you.
It is non-stop action. It's a brand new element to golf, which is going to bring a brand new audience. I think it's going to be great. Even when you watch like the NFL, that goes on for the same amount of hours. There's breaks. There's a halftime show. There's
adverts every 5 minutes.
There's an advert or there's like a break when the change ends or when someone scores a try. With this golf, there's literally no breaks. It's just constant. You sit there for 4.5 hours, 5 hours, and you watch a whole day of golf and you're done.
I know.
And you get to see everybody.
Yeah, I tell you, it was a good tournament.
It was, yeah.
Before we move on to the Maiden Himalayan, just want a quick little recap of the LPGA.
Gabby Lopez,
yeah. So she's come from 4 shots behind to win with 3 straight birdies to shoot a 63 to win by 1.
Yeah.
So that's some serious going.
Third win, isn't it, as well?
Yeah. I don't think she's won since the Tournament of Champions at the start of the 2020 season.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing, yo. But 19-year-old Lucy Lee she's like a California girl. Remember we spoke about her?
Yeah, I think she first arrived on tour when she was like 14, didn't she? Or something?
So she had a 1-shot lead going into the final round, but a shot 70 and I think she come fourth or fifth or something. But
it's a pressure to go for your first win, isn't it?
Well, that's it. But I just wanted to speak about that because finishing birdie, birdie, birdie to win by one,
takes a lot, yeah.
Serious.
She said in an interview afterwards as well, it's like she's happy that she's won, but she's more happy that she's come over any potential demons. So like the worry of going down the stretch and the fact that she's went birdie, birdie, birdie's proven that she's got it in it.
And it's not easy. There was a couple of decent putts to be knocking in. They had tough holes.
Definitely.
So, yeah, I just wanted to speak about that. And another near miss for Mr. Ferguson.
Near miss indeed, yeah. He's playing unbelievable, isn't he?
Ripping it apart.
Well, before we get into the Maiden Himalayan, I just want to talk about Ewan Rayleigh. He's obviously that's his first second place finish, but he's obviously had his two wins. And he's had one of the top 10. And he's currently 11th in the...
That win would have took him to ninth.
Yeah, exactly. So in ninth place is Thristan Lawrence. He's had 2 wins, 1 second-place finish, 1 third-place finish, and 3 other top 10s. So potentially one of the most informed players on the tour. That only gets him to ninth. Rory's leading with no wins, 1 second-place, 1 third-place, and 2 other top 10s. And then Tommy Fleetwood is in between. Thristan Lawrence and Ewan Ferguson in 10th place. He's had no wins and 4 top 10s, but he hasn't had a top 3, Tommy.
Top 10s are in majors, though, aren't they?
It doesn't matter, does it, really?
No, but I know it doesn't matter, really, but it does, isn't it?
Yeah.
More points.
But it just goes back to the point I'm making. Thristan Lawrence and Ewan Ferguson there.
Obviously, should really be ahead of Tommy.
Yeah, they should be ahead of Tommy, and they should be ahead of the majority of players up there, I think.
I know. Especially Zalatoris, like he hasn't even played a round, has he?
That's what I mean, yeah. Like we haven't even heard of Colin Morikawa this year, really, and he's 19th.
Exactly.
So it's like, how's he holding that position?
What we have heard, though, is Colin Morikawa's golf coach wants to chat with us.
He does, yeah. Can't wait to speak to him.
You're belting that, isn't
he? Yeah, looking forward to that one, yeah.
And we took him from 8 years old to being a
two-time major champion.
Look forward to that. I just love that when we're just big town and people ask us.
Well, you know.
You know.
Bogey boys are in demand, aren't they?
That's it.
That's it. Another one of our podcast guests, though, made in... What I was going to say, made in him.
Made in Denmark, you were going to say that.
What happened there? Marcus Hillykiddle.
Hillykiddle. Do you know they say his name wrong on the tour?
How do they say it?
They say Hellkeld.
Hellkeld.
Hellykeld.
They need to tune into our podcast. With
him. Well, I did post telling them to listen to it. Like
We got a full pronunciation.
Hillykiddle.
Hillykiddle, yeah. Loughdane.
Great.
He's playing very
especially
well.
Especially when, like, the whole of Denmark was probably banking on one of the Højgaards, weren't they?
Yeah, well, Rasmus played well, didn't he?
He did. Nikolai, yeah. Not so much, but...
Well, Nikolai had two eagles and four holes, didn't he? When he, I think he was three over for the first 18. Needed to make a bit of a runner because the cut was four under, was it?
Yeah.
Five under. Made two eagles on, like, the sixth and the eighth, or I'm going to say somewhere around there, seventh, whatever. And, yeah, didn't make the cut.
No.
Unfortunately.
But it's done Denmark proud there, being the low day, and he was... It seemed like he was just enjoying himself, having fun, yeah. Like embracing the crowd, embracing everything. I know he's won three times on the Challenge Tour, but he hasn't really done much on the DP. I know he had the top 10 on the PGA Tour.
This is his first season, isn't it? This is his first season as a DP World Tour full member, isn't it? And
yeah.
He took that prolonged break, didn't he? Didn't play the PGA when he had the opportunity to. So
no, it seems like he's got a proper mature head on his shoulders when he was talking to us about the meditation and the decade system, and he's took his opportunity to go and play PGA when, and he had a top 10 and a top 13, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
So, now to secure, what was he, ninth this week?
Yeah.
Top Dane,
He's at the PGA next week as well.
So, yeah. it's like we say, like, it's a win is round the corner for him, and as we spoke about Richie, had a great start to the week, but not so good
well,
end.
Yeah. Not bogey free for the first 36 holes, just looked flawless, didn't he? And then obviously five over third round, you don't expect that. So,
no.
Again, he just needs to put them four rounds together and he'll have his win because he's definitely good enough.
But Ollie, you can't take nothing away from Oliver Wilson. Like, if he was putting it inside 5 foot, he was missing. And if you're putting it to 30, 40 foot, 60 foot, he was knocking them in.
That's it, innit?
But 7 years, 355 days since his last victory.
Yeah.
And he hasn't had a top 10 in 2 years.
They're the stories you like to see, isn't it?
Especially someone like him.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And you can see what it meant to him as well.
I mean, I had money on you and like so.
Not so good for you. But I think when you look at the emotions on 18, and then it's a theme throughout the whole of the season, really. Hyton Lee was the same, on his knees, crying his eyes out.
Yeah.
Richie Ramsey. Crying his eyes out.
It shows what it means to them, doesn't it?
Well, this is what I mean, yeah. That when I talk earlier on about the history of the DP World Tour and what it means to these players, you have got the top players potentially getting poached and going to the PGA Tour, but you've still got the players, 160 of them, 150 of them, who are going to play week in, week out, who will want to win, and they deserve more money. If there's
just not crowd pullers, that's the only problem.
No, and this is the problem again, is they're not going to get the opportunity to become crowd pullers, because as soon as they start playing, like Ewan Ferguson's a prime example. Ewan Ferguson will get the crowds in Scotland.
Yeah.
If he goes to Scotland, because of the way he's playing, people will turn up to watch him now in
all
events.
That's what you need. That, like, Conor McGregor came to the UFC, is fighting. Yeah, okay, he went on a win streak and he took off, like, and he was amazing inside the octagon. But it was outside the octagon in the press conferences where he's made his name.
Yeah,
where he's coming on, shouting his head off and all that. Like, the DP World Tour, like, I know Liv do it, but they don't do a big enough press conference where they sit and they do it before the majors and all that. But, like, you need to be coming out, getting more outspoken, saying more things, like, being a better personality.
Yeah, being a public eye, yeah.
Personality is a big one, isn't it?
That's what I mean. Yeah, you can, and then you can feel like you're engaging with these players then now, because
you feel like
them.
You know them then, don't yeah. you?
He's going to go strength to strength. He's going to be one of the players who will go PGA Tour, Ewan. And I think he'll be a top player over there as well.
Oh, 1,000,000%. He's quality. Like, even like that up and down on the last to stay bogey free. I know the putter weren't too hot for him, but like Oliver Wilson, like, you just that put on the hole, you know, where they had all the bevies and all at the par three. I think it was 16. Or was it 15? One of them, like a little, they had like a mini little sawgrass thing going on the tee, then you could hear the music blaring,
yeah,
and all people sitting dead close, which is what you like to see, don't you?
Yeah.
And then he's hit the shot, yeah. And it's spun back like that, so he's got a decent put up deal, nails it, and then on the short par four, the 16th or 17th, he's laid up and he's hit a shot and it's spun up on him, and he's got a good what are we talking there, 40, 50 footer, and just buries it,
yeah.
Which put him underneath down the 18th. He said he felt calm. He's hit one down the right, which is where the water is, and he knocked on the green. Two puts him formality, really. But
definitely, yeah.
For him to break out on that emotions, the emotion that he must have been carrying, for him to stay so calm and not being in that position for so long, it just shows the dedication and the work that he must put in on it.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's all part of the game, isn't it? It's that full package in order to get a win. You can see, like, we spoke there about Richie Mansell putting 36 unbelievable holes in, but it's a 72-hole tournament, isn't it? Is. So when he puts them, if he can put another 36 holes like that, then either won the tournament with ease, Rich. But
of course,
that's what golf's about, isn't it? It's about putting them rounds together. And obviously, Oliver Wilson was someone who done that this week, and say the emotions.
Congratulations,
fair play to the lad.
Yeah, and it seems he's quite lucky. I don't know much about his personality, but the Twitter world and the social media world was very. They seemed very congratulative towards.
Well, he just
him.
Seems like a gentleman, doesn't he?
Ah, he does.
Like, he's just one of these people who just seems like a dead nice guy, even though you don't know him personally.
But he's probably too nice, across. Isn't he? Like, if he was whale number one, it's like,
yeah.
He's got no panache, has
panache.
He? Don't even have to fact check that word, if that's the right word.
Right then. Main event this week.
Main event.
Rolex Series event. Cash money to be played
cash
for.
Cash money records.
Went with Billy Horschel back to Defender's Crown. Remember last year's motivation was because he never got the Ryder Cup pick one. He turned up and he was like, I'll show yous, and ended up winning the event. It would have been nice to, because what you always see off the back of these, remember last time Tom Holland was playing with Padraig Harrington in the Pro-Am, and it's a shot. He was like, if this goes,
I'll put you in
the Ryder Cup team.
Oh, no, put you in the Ryder Cup, sorry.
Team.
Quality.
So it would have been nice to, and good for golf as well, and good for social media memes, like reels, whatever, if you get the live plays into the Pro-Am. And obviously, they have a bit of a back and forth.
A bit of a do.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it just takes a bit off the plan for me. I'd say why was me bust this week?
Well,
when they're not
Billy,
invited.
Billy Horschel turned up with Declan Rice, didn't he, to the thing with his West Ham bag and all that?
Yeah.
But so it's at Wentworth, isn't it? Obviously. But it's been at Wentworth since 1984. Before that, it was at Hillside for one of the years, did you know that? No. We might have mentioned it once in 1982. Tony Jacklin won it, 80 grand purse at Hillside Golf Club.
Nice, that.
There you go.
Nice bit of history.
Take that.
And party. Yeah.
And then since 1984, obviously, we've had it at Wentworth, 7,267 yards, which it's obviously gained length over the years.
Oh, yeah. They made them big changes to 18, didn't they, with the water. That's one of the main changes they've made. But yeah, it's. Always an event I look forward to. We normally go, don't we? We've been
The drama of the par five finish, isn't it? Remember, Afi Barmrat was nutting them out of bounds last year.
Yeah.
On 17. Like, what are you up to here? I think he was going to make a 10. He ends up making a bogey.
Did you see his interview?
No, you did send it to me. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, it was emotional. You know, he's just going on about like how tough it is. He was just dead open and honest about his struggles. But massive field, you know, we've had Rory McIlroy, Rahm Hovland, Lowry, Hatton, Fleetwood, Scott, Højgaard twins are there, Ewan's first start at this event, Ryder Cup captain.
I can't
Luke
believe
Donald.
You're missing out the main man.
Marcus Hillikittle.
Matt Fitzpatrick.
What do you mean?
Open, US Open champ.
Yeah, is he playing, is he? So skip past him in my notes. No, yeah, obviously Fitzpatrick's there as well, yeah, there's... All the stars turn up, don't they?
But Shane Lowry, Adam Scott. Eddie Pepl got an invite, but then I did see it says on the entry list, invite, ? Next, and an English flag. So there must be an invite for another English person, and I reckon Mansell's going to get that.
You get national spots, don't they?
Yeah. There's only one left. Eddie Pepl's got one, I believe.
Well, Rich tweeted there saying week off this week.
A late call-up.
Hopefully. That'd be nice.
Well, if he doesn't get it, then... Andrew Wilson's the top Englishman in the reserve list.
Okay.
So he could get it.
He came up from the challenge tour last year, didn't he?
Could call Connor back up.
Rory's won this back in 2014, didn't he?
Yeah.
Past winners, Willett and Hatton, went back-to-back home winners in 2019 and 2020. We're not doing the Order of Merit no more, but who do you fancy this week?
I fancy Tommy to turn up and have a go, you know.
Had quite a long break off, hadn't he?
Tommy or Rahm, I was flirting with.
Was you?
I know Rahm's probably up there as one of the favourites, isn't he? But again, what am I on about? Rory McIlroy's going to win this all day. What am I on about there? Of course he is.
Hovland, not fancy Hovland.
Mate, when Rory's like that, it's like he's having a boxing match with someone.
He does turn up when they...
He turns up to fight.
Yeah, he does.
And we're going toe-to-toe with Thomas, and like, this is what golf's about, one more than Greg Norman.
Yeah.
Like, I want to win the thing, one more than Tiger. I want to do this. He could trash talk Rory and go out, falter.
Patrick Reed.
Oh my God.
In his live cap.
Oh my God. Do you know what? He is as well.
Patrick Reed's going to win this in his
live
cap.
He is as well.
Yeah.
Wow. Forgot about him.
Yeah. So there's
He wins this, I'll never say another bad word about him.
Yeah. Justin Rose is in the field as well. He hasn't been playing for a bit, has he?
This is where Live Golf will feel at home because it's the festival of golf. You got Jack Jones on the Saturday night. You got Razor Light headline on the Sunday. It's the original festival of golf, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So I honestly believe that this week, you know, you've got Gareth Higos in the field as well.
Yeah. You're just having a stroke through the field there, are you?
Just having a little stroke through the field, yeah. I don't want to get shouted at by you again.
What'd you get shouted at?
For not having Fitzpatrick in there.
Oh, yeah. What do you mean? Major champion this year, like English.
The invite you're talking about, yeah, there's one space available. Professional tournament, invitationals, yeah.
That's what I'm on about, yeah. And then if you go further down to the red line, you'll see Andrew Wilson is the first English reserve. But then you've got like Graham Storm Wading and a few of the older boys.
Tom Lewis as well, he played well last week.
Tom Lewis has been playing well.
Yeah.
Although we didn't have a very good 18th, did he, playing with Ewan?
No. Interesting. No, I think Patrick Reed's just going to turn up in all his live gear. They've said to not wear it, haven't they?
After, yeah. Well, Liv have said you've got to in your contract.
Should be interesting to see what happens there.
So,
can't wait to see what comes of it, the drama.
We will get the Order of Merit table out as well. We've been a bit struggling with that, haven't we?
Will we?
Well, you can teach you what to do and then we can
do it. These are all winners in our hearts.
It's just, how many weeks behind are you?
The Irish Open.
Wow.
It was the last time I looked at it.
People are after it as well.
Apologies, people. It's been a long end of the year.
It's because Mark changed jobs and I'm blessed with the unfortunate task of not knowing how to do it.
Yeah, not going to learn how to do it, that's why. No, but I think this is... Really looking forward to this event. Just to see what the player reaction is like. I want to see what...
I want to see Rory having a straightener with one of them.
Just because you know the media is going to talk about it, but they're not going to have a Liv representative to be able to defend anything.
We should go down as Liv. We should email Liv for that about that job again.
Yeah.
They do want us to shoot down as representatives. Get it out to our 8,000 followers.
8,018.
8,022, actually.
We'll grow. Oh, is it? Yeah. We're growing. Look out. Right then. All that's left to say then is just enjoy watching the golf. I'm sure you will. There's plenty to look forward to. And we'll catch you all next week to talk about the drama.
Swing happy.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Thank you.